Hello, I'm Aiden, and you're watching Disney Channel. But welcome back to the Country Caribbean Podcast. Happy Black History Month. I know it's like the 19th day in the month already. I also have to help my daughter with a Black History project. Just do that. You know, just put stuff together. Just simple. It's so crazy because, like, I just finished college. Now I'm back doing schoolwork, and I know this is going to be all the way up until she's 18. So I'm back in school, y'all. But this has been a stressful month, stressful weeks, stressful days, just based off of so many things. But Valentine's Day was last Friday, and of course I enjoy the Valentine's jokes and stuff. And you all, of course, you always got those few people who be really coming at you, like being single is a disease, or being single means something's wrong with you and you're gonna forever be alone. And it's like, chill, you know, I'm living single. Like, there's always a reason. Like, being by yourself, like, you could do so many things. You could go places. You don't have to worry about answering to no person. You don't have to worry about nobody's son, nobody daughter, you know, all that stuff. But being single is straight, though. I mean, I still get gifts. The fuck? People think you single that nobody's studying you. I still get gifts. I still got my chocolates, my flowers. So the only thing I bought myself was a big old elephant with a whole bunch of hearts on it, colorful and stuff. That's the only thing I bought myself. But everything else has came from other people. Thank you. And then also, candy. Like, I'm trying to stay away from candy because I'm getting older. My birthday is this Saturday, February 22nd. So I'm getting older. So I'm trying to distance myself from candy a little bit, because I was eating candy the other day and my freaking teeth started hurting. And I was like, ooh, I need to chill. My teeth started hurting, and also, you know, the skin breaking out and stuff. So, but I've been exercising, though. That's one thing I'm proud of myself. I've been exercising. And on the days where I don't feel like exercising, I've been doing yoga. And it's crazy because I see a change in my body from doing yoga versus cardio. But it's really good for my mood and stuff. Like, you don't even have to do it to, like I've been saying, you don't have to do it to lose weight. It just puts you in a good mood, you know, boosts up them hormones. I've been cooking more. I made plantain porridge. Freaking delicious. It was mad thick. Whew. I should have used a bigger pot so I could add more water to stretch it out. But it was delicious overall. My mom talking about some, it needed a little bit of more sweetness. And I was like, no. Like, I think it was fine the way it was. It could have used a little bit more vanilla. You know, a little bit more of, you know, cinnamon, all that. But I'm going to make porridge again. This time I'm going to make cornmeal porridge. And we're going to see how that goes. I've been cooking Caribbean food. I made curry. I'm still trying to master jerk. And now that people are talking about chicken, you know, something wrong with the chicken or whatever, I'm like, dang, now I got to figure out what else I could do to make jerk. I can make, like, jerk salmon and, like, jerk shrimp. I love making jerk shrimp Alfredo. My favorite. Now, in this episode, I'm going to hit on some topics that's got people lit. I'm just going to breeze right past them because I don't really have a lot to say about them. So, all right. So, with the Gayle King and the Oprah situation. Okay, Super Bowl was the beginning of the month. You know, they had Shakira. They had J-Lo perform, and Bad Bunny, they were talking about his do-rag, which I thought was hilarious. Somebody said he's bald, so why he has on a do-rag? And I was like, oh, what? So I just be past that. Now with the whole Latino, Afro-Latino, and that's that whole discussion, that's like going to be like a future episode where I need more information when it comes down to those type of things. Now the Gayle King and Oprah situation, you know, whew, I heard so many different views from it. But all I can say is let black men defend themselves, okay? That's not me being old anti. No, let black men defend themselves. Like, they got this shit. I remember the situation. It was like a whole bunch of girls, me, and like this one guy, black man. So this one girl said something about black man, and then the girls were so quick to jump down her throat, and he was like, yo, like, y'all chill out, I got this. And he explained certain stuff, and he didn't attack the girl, and, you know, he didn't really come for her. He really explained certain stuff without coming for her, just to be like, yo, what you said was wrong, and, you know, don't generalize it, and, you know, where are you getting this information from, and maybe somebody you dealt with in the past does not mean everyone is going to be like that. So, listen, let them defend themselves. They got it. I've been hearing a lot of people talk about burning the cape. Now, black women, they are loyal to the black man. No matter what situations, we are loyal to our men that look like us. So, I'm not going to burn the cape. I'm just going to get more information before I jump onto something. For real. Like, you got to let stuff play out. Like, people be so quick to hear something and then be so quick to run and attack. I need more information. That's about it. Other people, they burn the cape. They say, don't give a fuck. Other women have said that, you know, I'm not jumping to defend men that I don't know. And it was like, when it comes down to men like my father or my grandfather or just men in my family, that's who I'm looking for to defend me. And I'm not looking for outside people. It's a whole situation. Then with Ari Lennox, everybody came for Ari Lennox. I know she eventually apologized, but many people came for her. But it was like, girl, weren't you just begging the same men that you're defending to defend you? You know, when they were talking about her looks and stuff. Like, what? It's like, you're the first person. And then I remember watching a video talking about black women staying on code. Whew. I'm definitely going to put that on my Instagram because it's a long, I won't say it's a long video, but I want to make sure, you know, you get all the important parts that need to be heard. And then also, you got dudes like, this is one thing I definitely want to talk about. You got dudes like Terry Crews who are like, the only woman I got to, and that's another thing. I see why a lot of women want to burn the cape when it comes like to defending certain men and stuff. Because you got men like Terry Crews talking about some, the only woman I have to defend, only woman I have to keep happy is my wife. You know, I ain't got to worry about my mama, my daughters, or other women that look like me, or just women in general, because they got their man. Their man could do that. Their man can handle that and stuff. Listen, if my dad... First of all, outside of that, this... And he can't even say that people put words in his mouth. He said, right? He put it time, date stamped with his, and he confirmed it. He said, I don't have to worry about my mom or my daughters. Their men can handle that. Bruh, so he can't get mad to say that nobody chooses his words and put words in his mouth because he said it. It's right there. Listen, if my dad said that, if my dad put out there, the only woman I got to worry about is my wife, my dad will get jumped by every woman in my family and me. My dad will literally get jumped if he says something like that. And I'm not going to say like, oh, it's a culture thing, because there's some men in my culture and in other cultures. I'm going to be using the word some a lot. So you're going to hear it a lot because I don't want nobody to think I'm talking about all. I'm going to say some. But there's some men in my culture, my background, and other cultures as well, who will throw their whole family away for some poom poom. There's men out there who will literally act straight up funny, act like they don't care about you for whatever they're putting their dick in. And also, as a woman, I wouldn't even feel comfortable like that, seeing my man disrespect his mom, disrespect his sisters. I mean, I understand that everybody, you know, their upbringing is different. But I still wouldn't even be comfortable like that, seeing a man, like, literally throw his whole family away for some vagina. Because then, eventually you gonna see it, because then did you know he's throwing me away and the kids that me and him share for the next girl, and then he's throwing that girl away and their kids that they share for the next girl. So like I said, tricky. So I just thought that was hilarious. Now, being as Black History Month, one thing I want to talk about is Tariq Nasheed. He's like a, what people will call like a fake woke, shea butter ass nigga. Allegedly, I heard he be scamming and stuff. But he's considered a leader. You know, he speaks on Black issues. But I see a lot of holes in some of the things that he be saying. I'm starting to see a pattern. So Nicki Minaj had a song and she referenced Rosa Parks. Yikes. And in the past, it's another song that I like. And she had Malcolm X as the cover art, and she did get dragged for that. I didn't like that at all because it did not relate to the song. It did not relate to the song at all. So this Tariq nigga, he was like, oh, Nicki Minaj constantly disrespects foundational Black American icons in her raps and cover art, like Malcolm X and now Rosa Parks, because as a Trinidadian, she doesn't identify with our foundational Black American lineage. She would never say anything disrespectful about Trinidadian icons. Now, I know that she's a Caribbean American, just like the rest of us. Well, like I said, I see the disconnect and whatnot. And I understand where he's coming from. Like, yeah, she wouldn't disrespect somebody of her background, a leader of her background, mostly because she probably doesn't even know certain leaders, certain Trini leaders, I would say. But even then, yeah, she's wrong for bringing them up. I know Rosa Parks, she sued Outkast for mentioning her. I think the whole name of the song was Rosa Parks. I mean, the song is still out there, but, you know, she sued them and, you know, got the money or not, said what she had to say. And other things. And many people have, not only Nicki Minaj, but many other rappers and artists have disrespected, you know, people who face these real difficult situations, like Emmett Till, you know, Rosa Parks. Every Martin Luther King holiday, you see Martin Luther King with the do-rag on and him being put on flyers. Him being put on party promotional flyers and all that stuff. And people constantly talk about that. I mean, it happens every year to the point people are like, okay. Now, a person broke down, Lovely T on YouTube. She broke down the Nicki Minaj line that features Rosa Parks. Basically saying that, oh, you know, y'all out here claiming to be, you know, claiming to do what Rosa Parks does, but y'all only doing that for likes. Y'all ain't really getting your ass. y'all not really getting your ass up, basically. So it's like on social media, you know, you're talking about, you know, you're preaching pro-Blackness, but outside of social media, you're not really doing nothing. You're quiet. You're not really saying much. You're not doing nothing. You're really not getting up and standing up for what you want to do. Now, the reason I don't like Tariq, because, and why I call him fake woke, because he reminds me of those memes where the people are wearing like the symbol of life chains and they're like, Black Friday, I'm black every Friday, you know, just shit like that. Because when that picture of Megan Thee Stallion and G-Eazy, you know, was hugged up and stuff, he put up a picture and was like, oh, this is what Megan Thee Stallion and G-Eazy look like. And it was like a very old picture of, it looked like a Black woman who was a maid and a white man was telling her what to do. And it's like, sir, what the fuck? It was like, what the hell? But interracial, you know, Black women dating outside their race, that's a whole nother situation. But I know a lot of artists like to make pop culture references, some good, some bad. And we can go on and on about, you know, what's off limits, you know, what you could talk about, what you can modify. But, whew, that's a lot. Now, with him talking about, oh, how come she's not talking about her Trini leaders and whatnot, with her being Caribbean American, I know me being Caribbean American, raised in America, born in America, to people of Caribbean background, you know, certain things I'm still learning about. I am about to be 25 and I'm still learning about things related to my culture. So, of course, I'm not going to disrespect. Wait, hold on. All right. I think there's, because I don't want to go too deep into it. But, like I said, pop culture references. Rosa Parks done already stated that, you know, I don't want to be mentioning y'all music, you know, don't do it. People are still going to do it because America is somewhat of a melting pot. And, you know, some people cross those lines and whatnot. And I feel as though for cultures outside the U.S., there's somewhat of a respect, and that those people have the power to literally stop your whole life sometimes when it comes to disrespecting the most high, not I won't say the most highs, but disrespecting people who are well respected within the community, within the culture and whatnot. Now, I want to talk about this. The beginning of the month, but I wasn't too sure. So, Black History Month, everybody wants to be positive. But like I said, Black History Month has been wild. I'm still learning about people that I didn't know invented certain things. But I wanted to make sure that I got more research, got more information. Well, I would have done more research, but got more information. Make sure I hit important parts. Now, with this topic, people like to talk about it on the surface, and I feel as though when people do speak on it, they're speaking with a lot of emotions. They're not really seeing where to come from. Like I said, there's a disconnect. I see the disconnect. I see the disconnect between Black Americans and Black people of not America. So this is where we're going to get into the main parts. So I came across a status and it was... To be honest, this is my first time seeing this. Because I know a couple years ago, I seen something related to it. And I was like, you know, I was younger, so I didn't know much about it. All right. So, this person said that, Caribbeans, all right, the West Indians, Jamaica, Trini, Grenada, the Dominican Republic, Haiti, Virgin Islands, Barbados, St. Lucia. Goddamn. Did I say Trini? The islands. Caribbean people. And Africans. You know, the Nigerians. That's the only one I can pronounce. Just kidding. But Africans think they are better than Black Americans. Now, I'm going to give my Caribbean view. Now, I did talk to my Nigerian friend. And I did watch a lot of videos from people who are of African background, and just taking certain things that I've heard them say, and I'm going to talk about that. So, for my Nigerian friend, I asked him some questions, took note of what he says, and I finally have my planned out. Okay, so my Caribbean point of view, like I said, I see the disconnect. Having Caribbean family members who back and forth in America, or they, like I said, born and raised, came over here. And it's so funny because now that I think about it, like a lot of people's stories, when I hear about them, it's always, yeah, I came to America when I was 10, or I came to America when I was 14. I was like, there must be a certain age you have to hit, because I always hear that a lot. But I know someone told me that, you know, by the time you hit like 10 or 14, you know, you kind of understand your culture more. You have somewhat of an identity. So you understand more when you hit these certain ages and stuff. And it's crazy that a person can be 18 years old and know so much about it to where they don't have like an identity crisis. So my Caribbean point of view. All right. So like I said, have family members come over. I know when my cousin Tony, when he first came over, he's a grown man. So we first came over, he would talk about certain things and he'd be like, oh, I don't understand. He'll talk about the police priorities. So, you know, I understand where he's coming from. Yeah, the police do have messed up priorities when, you know, certain things that are going down are not being researched or not being looked into. But you want to be over here, just looking at me, seeing if I'm going to cross the street at the wrong time type of shit. So he talked about police priorities. I know my dad, he does not like some of the dysfunction that the black community has normalized. And now that I'm older and people are saying like, oh, I think I'm better. Oh, I think I'm better because I don't subscribe to, because I don't subscribe to dysfunction. And I don't, I'm a person that's like, that's not normal or that's not okay. You know, common sense. You know, common sense when it comes to certain things. I'm like, no. But I always have to remember people's environments, generational curse, so on and so on. Now, growing up, I've had certain comments. To be honest, I didn't even know I was Caribbean. I've been around it, but I didn't know that, like, oh, I'm different. I wouldn't say, oh, I'm different, but, you know, oh, not everybody relates to what I'm growing up seeing, the type of food I'm eating, the type of music I'm listening to, the how my family talks and whatnot. I remember because it was certain words I would say in Patois, and this one kid would be like, oh, say this word. And I'm just looking at him like, why? And he was like, just say this word, you say it funny. And I was just like, huh? Like, that's how I talk. What do you mean? And I remember people asking me, am I related to Bob Marley? And, you know, just certain jokes. So, and it's so crazy. Like, I'm gonna get back into this later on. But, you know, just people asking me, like, when my hair would grow out. You know, why I get new growth, my hair would grow out. They were like, oh, are you trying to have dreads? Every time I had freaking new growth, and my hair was a little bit frizzy. Because, you know, I'm a kid. I didn't know how to do hair yet. And, you know, my mom was doing my hair. She did my hairstyles to make sure they last. So it'll be like, oh, are you trying to go dreads? Are you trying to go dreads? Does your family have dreads? Do they smoke weed? Do they smoke ganja? How do they talk? They'd be like, amen, amen. You know, just basically dragging me. Now that I'm older, I'm like, how the hell did I let this stuff slide? And it's not like I was a kid. This was like middle school, teenager years. You know, every time people see me, they be like, hey, man. And just try to have the trashiest stereotypical Caribbean accent. And then also, a lot of people think that Jamaica was the only Caribbean, that everybody who was Caribbean was Jamaican. And I'm like, no, there's other islands and stuff. And then, like I said, there's going to be a whole nother episode when it comes to talking about Latinos, Afro-Latinos and stuff. You know, they feel as though you can't be black and Latino. Ooh, child. I know so many Afro-Latinos who are like, bruh, like, people dead ass will question them. Will be like, oh, if you're Latino, why is your hair nappy? You know, just shit like that. So, I mostly seen the jokes and stuff. People didn't really come for Caribbean people like that until we got older. And then a person would be like, oh, why are you talking to me like that? Why are you yelling at me? Why are you being so aggressive? And it's like, this person's like, I'm not being mean to you. I'm not yelling at you. I'm not being aggressive. This is just how I talk. So, all right, so I know my cousin told me that a lot of Caribbean people think Black Americans are lazy. And I've been around many people and I've watched many videos to know why a lot of people think that, oh, Black
Americans might be lazy. And to be honest, it's just trauma. Like I said, generational curse, generational trauma, and, you know, lack of therapy as well. And it's gotten to the point where people are just like, what's the point? So I can see that, because now we're finna get into my Nigerian friend point of view as well as Africans' point of view. Now, they do say that some Africans, you know, they do look down at Black Americans. And I would say media plays a role into it, what's seen on TV. Like I said, growing up, if you grew up in America, just the jokes they would make, the jokes people would make, especially if you're on social media. 2012, I think everybody was getting dragged in 2012. Light skin, dark, the whole light skin, dark skin thing. You know, if you didn't look a certain way, if your hair wasn't a certain way, everybody was getting dragged. So, you know, certain jokes, just media in general, people making certain jokes, people... Something happening in another culture, and in Black people who look like these people who are in these other cultures just saying just some wild shit. So, like I said, I feel as though, you know, they don't like it. Like, come on now. We're allies. Like, Black non-Americans are not against you. We're allies. We're all Black. Because once Caribbean people and African people are just like, you know what, fuck it, whatever. We're going to stay where we at. We're going to fuck with who we fuck with. It's like, who else is going to be there, who's going to come through and defend and be like, hey, I understand. Now, with Queen Chama, she was like, she does social commentary. So, as a Nigerian woman, she says that a lot of Black Americans tell her that, hey, stop speaking on Black American issues. You can't relate. You can't relate. You don't understand. And I've been told that too as well. I'm told I can't relate to certain things. I can't understand. Instead of, like I said, I'm going to use the word some. Instead of, some Black people don't say that. They don't be like, oh, you can't relate. Or you probably never went to the situation. Or probably know anybody that went to the situation. They just say, you're not Black enough. Do you know how many times I had to back up and come back? Now, when I would talk about my Jamaican side, like I said, when I was younger, I didn't know that, oh, I was different. I was culturally different. So when I would talk about my Jamaican side, talk about Jamaican food and stuff, this one girl said to me, she was like, oh, you want to be everything but Black. Excuse me? I was so confused. Like, what you mean I want to be everything but Black? Caribbean people are Black. Like, their skin... Like, we're brown skin, you know, we have certain features. I was so confused. So, like I said, the Black police. The Black police. The Blackness police. All right. You know, this happens to biracial people. This happens to Black people who have different hair textures. Black people who have different features. Different. This is different a lot. You know, you're not Black enough. Or stop speaking on Black American issues. You can't relate. Despite being raised in America, I see both sides. But I feel as though, like, some people want you to choose a side. And it's like, I'm not finna do that. Like, I'm not finna distance myself from this side that I know this side is, which is family. Like, when I'm not in the outside world, when I come home, this is what I'm coming home to. Coming home to the food, the music, the culture, the accents. So I can't disconnect from it, because that's what I'm coming home to when I'm not dealing with the outside world. This is what I'm closing my door, kicking my shoes off, and I'm coming home to. So it's like, I'm not going to choose a side, but I am going to work hard to understand where you are coming from, to understand these issues. Like, some people feel as though you can't be pro-Black and be Caribbean. I'm like, what the fuck? It's so confusing. I just think when it comes to Black American culture, people work so hard to create something that everybody can relate to. Everybody can be like, hey, you know, we can all connect to that. They're cautious about who they let in. I mean, I understand being cautious about who you let in, because some people come in, steal the culture, try to rename it, or come in and try to split everybody up. But, like I said, Black non-Americans are your allies. We're not against you, okay? Mommy, I understand, you know, all skin folk and kin folk, but you know, you, that's when you get to know people and figure people out. All right, so like I said, I interviewed my Nigerian friend. He's a man. So one thing he said was knowing better and doing better. And I do agree with him. He does not act like he's better than the next person. Like I said, he came over here when he was a child. So he grew up around the culture. So he said knowing better and doing better. So, you know, not being naive and not being naive, basically. So if you, like I said, if you know better, you do better. So if I know that I make, now this is, look, this ain't real, you know, this is just an example. If I know that I make, this example he gave me as well. If I know that I make $1,400, I need to use a bigger number. If I know that I make $2,400 a month, right? And my bills come up to, I would say, $2,200 a month, meaning that I have $200 disposable income. I am not going to go out here and add on a bill that's going to be more than how much I make a month. I'm not going to be out here like, okay, I have $200 disposable income. Let me go buy some $400 shoes. Or let me go out to eat every weekend knowing that my bills are $2,200 a month and I only have $200 disposable income, and that anything could happen to where I could be in the hole. So knowing better and doing better, knowing that you can't afford certain things, don't go out and try to buy them. Or that a lot of people don't have savings accounts, so a lot of people don't even have checking accounts. Let me repeat that. A lot of people don't have savings accounts, and a lot of people don't have checking accounts. They don't have banks. They don't fuck with banks. So all their money, I mean, I understand other cultures do this as well, but I'm black, so we're going to talk about people that look like me, okay? A lot of people using these apps as banks. Like, you know, it's like every week an app is coming up talking about get your check 3 days before, get your check early and whatnot. Instead of having a real bank, and I have a credit union, so if I have money in my savings, like, I don't want to use the wrong words, but if I have a certain amount of money in my savings, I will get a certain percentage added to it because of having money in my savings. And like I said, a lot of people don't have savings account. I know for a while I did not have a savings account. I was just like, you know what, you know, live your life, you know, life's too short, blah, blah, blah. But then when situations will happen to me, like situation that constantly happened to me is I constantly need a new car. Either the car I'm driving is old, or I didn't make a good decision with the car, or I get into an accident. Having a savings account is clutch because I could go hop up, go put money down on a car because I have a savings account. And also educating myself on car buying, educating myself on managing my bills, transportation, just in case my car does break down. Because me, I can sit at home and be like, boo-hoo, I don't have a car, how am I get to work, how am I do this, how am I do that, when my ass learn how MARTA works, how the bus works, bus schedule, bus times, if I leave at this time, I'll be able to make it to work at this time with enough time to spare, getting myself a bike, so hey, you know, I could go down the street to the store, get some groceries, putting in my backpack, hop on my bike and go home. Like I'm a humble person. I know how to, what did you call it? I know how to make stuff work. I'm a hustler and whatnot. I'm trying to find ways to make money without having to shift, you know, without having to shift my daughter and shift my whole everything. Cause my daughter's in school. She's in school. She has to go to school, okay? So from the morning till the time she get off the bus. So I'm finding ways to make stuff work And I'm not adding on extra responsibilities. Like, let's say, all right, I don't have a car and I'm struggling to pay my bills. Let's say I go get pregnant. Knowing I'm currently struggling, I go get pregnant. Bring another mouth to feed, knowing I can't even take care of the one I'm currently feeding. So another thing I want to talk about is value. You know, a lot of people, they have certain values in their culture. And like I said, this is a lot of layers, because even though this doesn't relate, it kind of does. But this is like girls who bash other girls talking about, oh, you don't have morals because you wear tight clothes and your booty, you know, it shows your booty and whatnot, blah, blah, blah. So in certain cultures, you know, we have values. You know, you have Caribbean values. You know, Africans, they have their own values within their country, within their background. Another thing is, which I just talked about, he talked about financial planning and decisions, you know, having poor financial planning and decisions. Like I said, that's because of history. And a lot of people like to be stuck in history and be like, you know, stuff ain't set up for black people. Stuff ain't set up for black people. But it's like, we need to be like, I understand, like I talked about this a couple episodes ago about how stuff is just set up for us to fail. So it's like, okay, what do we do knowing that this system is set up for us to fail? Let's not let it take over our lives. Let's take over it. So if I know financially a lot of things are set up, we're not taught certain things for us to fail and for us to continue poverty within each generation, let me work on my credit. Let me work on saving money. Let me work on educating myself, getting certain skills, getting certain experience to better my career. Let me not bring babies into this world knowing that I cannot take care of them financially and physically and mentally, emotionally, all that stuff. Let me do proper planning when it comes to children. Let me do proper planning when it comes to the type of things that I use. I know so many people out there that are working 3 jobs to maintain a lifestyle that they cannot afford. You don't need $200, $300 every time you want your hair done. You don't need to spend $200, $300 every time for some hair, okay? Like I said, the hair industry is a big booming business, and the women who are buying the hair are not really benefiting from that financial thing. But I'm starting to see more people like, hey, I want to start a business. Bruh, do you know right now there is kids, little black boys and girls in high school, in middle school, who are starting businesses? I see it all the time on TikTok, because TikTok has a lot of little kids on there. Listen. But TikTok is just another social media app, and I'm seeing a lot of trends about people showing off their business. They're doing jewelry. They're doing this one woman, like, if you have long nails, she has these type of tweezers, so you're able to pick up coins off the floor. You're able to do certain things and still have your long nails. So I'm starting to see more people have businesses and be educated on businesses. And then you have other people who be trying to clown people like, oh, everybody named mama have a lash business. Everybody named mama have a hair business. Damn, how many makeup businesses y'all gonna have? See, that's that trying to bring people down. Like I said, one girl was freaking... What episode was that I talked about that? I'm gonna post it though. But like I said, the whole black people in business thing, I think I hit those points like almost every episode when talking about that. But all right, now when it comes to having babies, I know my parents were disappointed in me when I got pregnant, but did they make it uncomfortable for me? So my dad, he was the main person that was upset and disappointed. You know, I popped up pregnant young. Me and my child's father, we weren't really together. And we eventually did not even get back together or work out. We had drama, blah, blah, blah. But my dad, he's always like, you should want more for yourself. You should want better for yourself. My dad is Jamaican. So you should want more for yourself. You should want better for yourself. Like, while everybody else who, well, when it comes to having babies, like, every woman is different. Like, it's not even a culture thing. It's just, I would say it's an environment thing and a generational thing sometimes. Because many women were telling me, you know, oh, you and your baby daddy are going through a rough patch. And, you know, once the baby is born, then you'll be able to work on each other. Listen, if I would have done that, if I would have tried to make it work with my baby daddy, I would still be a single mom, just with more kids. And I would be miserable and mad that I wasted my womb. So, not to sound mean or nothing, but I'm just saying in general, wasted my, you know, especially since I do want to be married. I do want to be married, picket fence, and babies, all that stuff. So, that don't even have anything to do with, that's universal, that's all around and whatnot. But, so I asked my friend, I was like, how do you feel? Because I know a lot of Black Americans say that Africans be buddy-buddy with the oppressor. And he was just like, oh, I could tell he was pissed because just the look on his face. So he started talking about, you know, bringing up the past and pointing fingers. So he was like, okay, we know that, you know, we all know the history of Black people and everything and whatnot. I mean, you could sit around and complain about the man, but the man is always going to still be here. Like, yes, you know, that certain population is starting to become the minority, but they still have control. Despite slowly becoming the minority, Caucasian people still have control. They still put passing these laws, and they're still putting their foot down. So he's like, we're not being buddy-buddy with the oppressor. He said that African people are studying. He said that Africans are studying how the man moves, how he does certain things, you know. And there's nothing, I mean, there's other Black Americans who do study, you know, how certain people in America who are not Black, how they work, how they are able to build their businesses and able to have all these stores and be, you know, build their brands and stuff. They're just not saying nothing. But if something goes down, it's always, oh, Africans are buddy-buddy with the oppressor. Well, we're both studying the same formula. I think because Africans do business with white people, and it's like, as a business management student, person who went to school for business management, when it comes to business, you're going to have to work with many, 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 many different people. Because many people, it depends on what you're doing. And you're going to come across some people who are not Black. And that's just how it is. You know, America's supposed to be this melting pot where all of us are coming together from different backgrounds and stuff. So you're going to touch hands with somebody who is not Black when it comes to business. I'm sorry, like, certain Black people, they're not doing certain things when it comes to wholesale and whatnot. I mean, I could search and search and search, but depending on where you live at, there might be a Caucasian person that's over where you're getting the material for your business. There might be an Asian person that's over where you're getting your products, where you're getting your material for your business. It might not be a Black person that's over it. So, and also, when you do grow with your business, you're going to rub elbows with people who are not Black. That's just how it is. Like, yeah, you can hate the man all you want to, but you're going to have to rub elbows eventually with other people. Don't you go to school? Ain't there Caucasian people at your school? Like, it's so crazy. I lived in a small town, and a lot of people be having a lot to say about small towns. But I lived in a small town, and a lot of the population was mostly black, mostly white. But at my school, you mostly see Black people, but there still was white people there. So it's like, it don't matter. And then you'll see like a little drop of Asian and another minority. There was a lot of Afro-Latinos. But despite family, that's how I've seen a lot of Afro-Latinos outside of my family. It's from the school, a lot of biracial people, so on and so on. So, like I said, you can't. So I know he was upset about that when I said that. And also when he said pointing fingers, you know, that goes back to, you know, a lot of some black Americans, let me use that word, some black Americans do point fingers and be like, oh, well, the reason why I can't get a job is because they don't like me. I mean, yes, that's true. You know, systematic racism, discrimination in the workplace. But, I mean, hey, sometimes you gotta revamp yourself or whatnot. Or you could just go somewhere else. Like, that's not the only place where you could go for a job. Like, there's a million jobs. But like I said, depending on your city. But outside of, like, work, and outside of the, I'm gonna just say outside of work, you know, they do point fingers about, you know, oh, I can't get ahead because you're making this difficult for me, despite making poor, that's just it, making poor decisions and then pointing fingers. I see it a lot amongst my peers. Majority of my peers are black Americans. So I see it a lot amongst my peers. You know, they make poor decisions. And then when you say, well, hey, you could have done X, Y, and Z, like, you know, that was, and when you tell them it's a poor decision that they make, it's like, oh, you think you better than me. Oh, you think the gaslighting. That's one thing I want to get to, the gaslighting. And this happens a lot. Like, I know I speak on colorism, and when you speak on colorism, people always like say, oh, colorism doesn't exist. It's all in your head. You know, we all face struggles and stuff, blah, blah, blah. The gaslighting. And in gaslighting, when Caribbeans and Africans talk about the jokes that were made towards us, to be honest, at this point, I feel as though, like, some Caribbeans and Africans, they're just keeping that same energy. And it was like, you were calling me an African booty scratcher. You were saying I was black as dirt, black as coal. When they turn off the lights, I disappear. So it's like, no, I don't give a fuck about you. Like, I don't care what you got going on. And I mean, a lot of people could be like, oh, that's not right. You know, we were kids. Why don't you go talk to somebody about that? But it's like, my nigga, people still make those jokes as an adult. And I just be like, really? Really, bitch? So they can keep the same energy or whatnot. You might think this person is acting better than you when they just have zero tolerance for the ignorance. That's just it. I feel as though, like, some Caribbeans and Africans have zero tolerance for the ignorance, the pointing of the fingers, the, oh, well, this happened to where, why we can't get ahead. And it's like, yeah, you know, it's good that you understand why stuff was put in place, so why we can't get ahead. But it's like, now, what can we do to change that? If we all know why certain things are put in place for why we can't get ahead, what can we do to change that, knowing that all of us know this? Come on. I feel like everything starts with community. Like, people always want to talk about racism. Well, people get mad at me because when I say, oh, I've seen more colorism than I've seen racism, they like to be mad at me. But it's like, bruh, I'm seeing what's in the community first because I'm in the community. So I'm going to see what's going on in my community first before I go looking at other people's communities and stuff. Like, yeah, I know racism exists. Yes, I know, you know, certain things. Like I said, I'm not going to keep repeating it because I'm starting to feel weird. But it's just the whole gaslighting. And like I said, all skin folk ain't kin folk. I know that. You know, some people, they want to continue. They just want to continue generational trauma. I'm seeing a lot in the news and whatnot. And I'm like, damn it. And then also, opportunities. This is one thing he definitely spoke on, my Nigerian friend. This one thing he definitely spoke on was about opportunities. Because a lot of people who come to America, despite being black, you know, other people just come to America in general. They come to America with a couple of pairs of shoes, some clothes, and some money in their pocket, wanting better and stuff. So he said that black Americans have more opportunities than people who are not in America. And he says sometimes they waste them. And that is true. Some, all right, some people, they waste opportunities, they waste resources.
Now, I spoke about Atlanta and people who are in Atlanta who are tired of people moving here and whatnot, saying that Atlanta is crowded and whatsoever. And this relates to America in general. You know, if I come over here with 2 quarters and a hot Cheeto and I'm able to really turn started from the bottom, rags to riches, and able to bring more of my family here and able to pass down something to my children, I can see why somebody who is Caribbean African saying to Black Americans, like, come on now, like, you have an advantage. Like, how come I'm able to come over here with a recipe and a suitcase and make something of myself, but like I said, generational trauma, poverty mindset, it's just so much, especially when you don't have positive people in your corner. Caribbeans and Africans, they see so much, you know, they do their research, they see so much when it comes to, oh, I'm coming to America, I'm going to make something of myself. People come here for education. People come here for sports. People come here just for a better life for their family and whatnot. So, of course, they're going to use up their... And the same thing when I talk about Atlanta. Everybody, I understand not everybody that comes to Atlanta, they don't really have a plan. But majority of the people that come to Atlanta have a plan. When I came to Atlanta, I'm like, I'm finna work. Work, work. I came to Atlanta with my beat up car, a whole bunch of clothes in the back seat, moving into my daddy house, you know, driving in this beat up car 40 minutes to the job that I got, that I was able to, because I wasn't going to move to Atlanta unless I had a job. Okay. Some people come here with no jobs. You know, people come to America with no jobs and they work. Hard workers, just the hustle mindset. I understand that some people's hustle is not legal, but, you know, that's their business. But just with the hustle mindset, like, hey, I'm given these opportunities that I'm not given to in my country. I am able to, depending on you where you live at, I'm able to buy this, this, and that. I'm able to send that to my family so they can have this, this, and that. And a lot of people, they come together when it comes to their culture. Some. All right. Some people come together. They come together, put their money in a pot, you know, send money back. And that's why some people, and then just the whole, like, all right, I know y'all be seeing what Americans be talking about the Mexicans. And it's like, always, they always working, they always taking up, you know, they always working. They're quote unquote taking all the jobs. My dude, like, bruh. That's that hustle mindset. It's like, if you know that you don't want to go back to like, oh, I know if I go back home, you know, this is what I have to deal with and I want better. It's just a passion and whatnot. So a lot of Caribbeans and Africans just feel as though like, shoot, I feel as though this is like any, like I said, this is just anybody who's not in America. Feel as though like, you have opportunities that I don't have. You have products and resources that I don't have. And you're sitting up here complaining. What are you complaining about? So, I feel as though I hit the important parts. But like I said, that's just one person that I interviewed. But I did do more research looking at different videos of Africans versus African Americans and seeing different people talk about it. And then another thing when it comes to Africans, because Black Americans, some Black Americans do not like Africans. All the African people I've came across, I vibe with, I had a good time. But we're all humans at the end of the day. There's going to be humans that you come across that you have problems with. There's going to be humans that you come across that you cool with. So it shouldn't even be about the background. And then to say that all, that's why I use the word some. When anytime I'm talking about something, I use the word some. I say some people. I say some men, some women, some mothers, some fathers, some families. Because you get dragged when you just be like, oh, the Caribbeans, oh, the Africans, instead of, oh, some Caribbeans and some Africans that I came across, this is how they feel. So of course people are going to come for you and stuff. And it was so funny because under the status, this woman was like, let's stop supporting them. Let's stop going to get our hair done by them. Let's stop going to Caribbean restaurants. Then who the hell you gonna get Caribbean food from? I mean, everybody named Mama, you know, I think everybody knows how to do, you know, everybody's doing hair and whatnot. But where you gonna get your Caribbean food from? I know you're not gonna be out here eating that gentrified jerk chicken. I know that. So, you know, if you feel as though, like, oh, this one, like, I mean, this happens just in general when a guy gets his heart broken by this one girl. Now he just hates those type of girls. And it's like, oh, I hate girls that are from this side of town because this one girl broke my heart. So if you go to this one Caribbean restaurant and you mad because the lady behind the counter just looks at you, put your food on the table, or she said, we not have that. And then you ask a question like, oh, well, when's the next time y'all gonna have some more? And she said, tomorrow. So if you feel as though that's a bad interaction and whatnot, then go to the next person. Don't just be like, don't generalize, be like, oh, all Caribbeans. My nigga, you know how horrible life is when you just generalize and be like, oh, I had this bad interaction with two people of the same background, so all the people interactions are going to be bad. No, baby. And then also, like I said, when I was talking about the Caribbean restaurants and, you know, we not have that and stuff, you got to learn. That's why people are like, learn the culture. Do your research, you know, because you might think, oh, this person's being mean to me. Oh, why are they like this? Why is this person being mean to me? When it's just how they normally interact. Everybody knows when you go into a Caribbean restaurant, you know, the lady behind the counter sucking her teeth, or she rolling her eyes, or they're always out of this, they're always out of that. That's like, bruh, like, we're used to that. Like I said, it's a big disconnect, and a lot of people are just stubborn, don't want to learn the culture or whatnot, don't want to educate themselves, or because you know how many times, like, I could be kiki and ha-ha and about something, and a person would be like, oh, I know you ain't talking something related to Jamaica and something negative, and it's like, oh, all y'all, and I'm like, bruh, like, what the hell? Like, I'd just be so confused. But that's how people are. But I see the disconnect. I can't just sit up here and just hate people when I know the truth, or I know close to the truth, or I'm doing my research to know more. So I can't just sit up here and hate people and be anti. And many people might think I'm being biased because I'm Caribbean, and the person that made the status mentioned Caribbean people. First of all, that's my first time even seeing Caribbean people get told, like, oh, they think they're better. I mostly hear about Africans versus African Americans and whatnot. I know a lot of African Americans speak on, like, oh, you know, we don't feel comfortable being Americans because in America, you know, we're not treated equal. And then going to Africa, we're so clueless about, you know, the culture and where we're from. And one thing African woman said is that she feels as though, like, Black Americans don't value African heritage. Like, it's like, that's a cute jacket with, you know, I'm Black and I'm proud, let me wear that. Or, you know, like, oh, that's a nice dress, let me put on the dress. So that's a whole nother thing, and I'm definitely going to look more into it. When she said that Black Americans don't value African heritage, so I'm definitely going to look more into that. But thank you for listening to the Country Caribbean podcast. I know I was jumping around with what some of the things I was saying, but like, a lot of this stuff is layered, and I'm trying not to go too deep into the layers because I could go on and on and on about this. But like I said, many people have bad experiences, and they say, all bad people are bad. Some people of these backgrounds that I mentioned, they'll tell you, like, yeah, some people, they just anti-this, anti-that. But we're humans, like, it happens and stuff. Being the neutral person, I think people don't like the neutral person, because I can't I don't really pick sides. It depends on the situation. But follow me on Instagram at The Country Caribbean. Follow me on Facebook at The Country Caribbean Podcast. I will be dropping videos on my YouTube, The Country Caribbean, on YouTube. Those videos are going to be spinoff of things that I've talked about in past episodes. I'm definitely going to be talking about dating and being a mom. And probably drop some vlogs. Like, right now, Georgia is like Gotham City. It's just so dark and gloomy because it's been raining. And I'm trying to figure out what the hell is going on. I mean, I understand Georgia weather is crazy, but it's been raining like wild. Like, we probably have like one sunny day and be like, huh, I hope you enjoy that sunny day because rain for the next 5 days. But thank you for listening. Make sure you like, comment, share, feedback, you know, leave a voice message. You know, I like talking to people. And I was kind of nervous about this episode, but I think this is something that needs to be talked about. You know, that's what we do over here at The Country Caribbean. We talk about things that many people aren't really talking about, or they are talking about it, but they're not really going that deep into it. So thank you for listening, and I'll see you next week.